All glories assemble devotees. All glories assemble devotees. All glories assemble devotees. Amangana Tamarandasya Ganagana Salakaya Chakshwana Tamuna Tazna Shivravena Vanchakopa Trivias Chakripa Sandavivacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. So today we're going to be reading from the second canto, sixth chapter, text 18. Samritasya bayashesho marchamanam yaratyagat mahimasha tato brahman Purushasya Duratyaya Samritasya Vayashyesho Marchamanam Miratyagat Mahimasha Tato Brahman Purushasya Dharatyaya.
Purushasya Dharatyaya.
Samritasya Vyayashesho. Matyamanam Yadatyagat. Mahimaisha Tato Brahman. Purushasya Dharatyaya. Samritasya Vyayashesho. Marjanam Yadat Yadat. Mahishmaisha Tato Brahman. Purushasya Dharatyaya. Samritasya Vyayashesho. Marjanam Yadat Yadat. Mahimaisha Tato Brahman. Purushasya Dharatyaya. Samritasya Vyayashesho. Marjanam Yadat Yadat. Mahimaisha Tato Brahman. Purushasya Dharatyaya. Ready? Samritasya Vyayashesho. Marjananam Yadat Yadat. Mahimaisha Tato Brahman. Purushasya Dharatyaya. Anyone else? Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
So we'll do the word for word and then the translation. Sa.
He, the Lord,
Amritasya, of deathlessness,
Abhayasya,
of fearlessness, Isha,
the controller,
Martyam, dying, Anam, fruit of action, Yat, one who has, Atyagat, has transcended,
Mahima,
the glories. Esha,
of him.
Tata,
therefore.
Brahman, O Brahmana Narada.
Purushasya,
of the Supreme Personality.
Dharatyaya,
immeasurable. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is a controller of immortality and fearlessness. And he is transcendental to death and the fruit of actions of the material world. O Narada, O Brahmana, it is therefore difficult to measure the glories of the Supreme Person. Please repeat. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is a controller of immortality and fearlessness.
The Supreme Personality of Godhead is a controller of immortality and fearlessness.
And he is transcendental to death and the fruit of actions of the material world. O Narada, O Brahmana.
O Narada, O Brahmana.
It is therefore difficult to measure the glories of the Supreme Person.
It is therefore difficult to measure the glories of the Supreme Person.
So it's a long purport, but it's pretty much nectar, but we can just read it and, you know, maybe talk about it as we go or just see how it goes. The glories of the Lord in the transcendental 75% of the Lord's internal potency are stated in the Padma Purana, Uttarakhanda. It is said there that these planets in the spiritual sky, which comprise the 75% expansion of the internal potency of the Lord, are far, far greater than those planets in the total universes composed of the external potency of the Lord. So, you know, sometimes as devotees, we're out in Sankirtan or walking the street and we may, you know, get insulted or, and it's, there may be times when we're thinking we're in the minority of people. But actually, the actual truth is that 3/4 of the living entities are devotees and never even left the spiritual world. So we can take some comfort in knowing that. Okay. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the total universes in the external potency of the Lord are compared to a bucket full of mustard seeds. One mustard seed is calculated to be a universe itself. In one of the universes in which we are now living, the number of planets cannot be counted by human energy. And so how can we think of the sum total in all the universes which are compared to a bucket full of mustard seeds? And the planets in the spiritual sky are at least 3 times the number of those in the material sky. Such planets, being spiritual, are in fact transcendental to the material modes. Therefore, they are constituted in the mode of unalloyed goodness only. The conception of spiritual bliss, Brahmananda, is fully present in these planets. Each of them is eternal, indestructible, and free from all kinds of inebrieties experienced in the material world. Each of them is self-illuminating and more powerfully dazzling than we can imagine. The total sunshine of millions of mundane suns. So it's something to think about, that the spirit soul is so dazzling and effulgent. It's brighter than any kind of electricity, the sun, the moon. And that's, you know, that's inside of us, just covered over. The inhabitants of those planets are liberated from birth, death, old age, and disease, and have full knowledge of everything. They're all godly and free from all sorts of material hankerings. They have nothing to do there except to render transcendental loving service to the Supreme Lord Narayan, who is a predominating deity of such Vaikuntha planets. Those liberated souls are engaged incessantly in singing songs mentioned in the Samaveda, Veda Sangha Pada Kramo Panishadaya Gayanti Yam Samaga. All of them are personifications of the 5 Upanishads. Sri Padvibhuti, or the 75% known as the internal potency of the Lord, is to be understood as the kingdom of God, far beyond the material sky. And when we speak of Padvibhuti, or the 25% comprising his external energy, that's where we are, we should understand that this refers to the sphere of the material world. It is also said that in the Padma Purana, that the kingdom of Sri Padvibhuti is transcendental, whereas the Padvibhuti is mundane. Sri Padvibhuti is eternal, whereas the Padvibhuti is transient. The Lord and his eternal servitors in the transcendental kingdom all have eternal forms which are auspicious, infallible, spiritual, and eternally youthful. In other words, there is no birth, death, old age, and disease. That eternal land is full of transcendental enjoyment and full of beauty and bliss. This very fact is also corroborated in the verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, and the transcendental nature is described as Amrita. As described in the Vedas, Bhutamrisha Visheshana, the Supreme Lord is the Lord of immortality, or in other words, the Lord is immortal. And because he is the Lord of immortality, he can award immortality to his devotees. In the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord also assures that whoever may go to his abode of immortality shall never return to this mortal land of threefold miseries. Janma karma chame vibhyam evam yo vidi tapataha tapat tapat. Naitamaneshi sarjuna. That Krishna says that one who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not take birth again in this material world, attains his abode. In the material world, there's always anxiety or fearfulness in the hearts of all living entities. But the Lord, being himself the supreme fearless, also awards the same quality of fearlessness to his pure devotees. Mundane existence is in itself a kind of fear, because in all mundane bodies, the effects of birth, death, old age, and disease always keep a living being compact in fear. In the mundane world, there's always the influence of time, which changes things from one stage to another. And the living entity, originally being avikara, or unchangeable, suffers a great deal on account of changes due to the influence of time. The changing effects of eternal time are conspicuously absent in the immortal kingdom of God, which should therefore be understood to have no influence of time, and therefore no fear whatsoever. In the material world, so-called happiness is a result of one's own work. One can become a rich man by dint of one's own hard labor, and there are always fear and doubts as to the duration of such acquired happiness. But in the kingdom of God, no one has to endeavor to attain a standard of happiness. Happiness is the nature of the spirit, as stated in the Vedanta Sutras, Ananda Mayo Byasat. The spirit is by nature full of happiness. Happiness in spiritual nature always increases in volume with a new phase of appreciation. There is no question of decreasing the bliss. Such unalloyed spiritual bliss is nowhere to be found within the orbit of the material universe, including the Janaloka planets, or for that matter, the Maharaloka or Satyaloka planets, because even Lord Brahma is subject to the laws of fruit of actions and the law of birth and death. It is therefore stated here, Tirayaya, or in other words, spiritual happiness in the eternal kingdom of God cannot be imagined even by the great brahmacharis or sannyasis who are eligible to be promoted to the planets beyond the region of heaven. Or the greatness of the Supreme Lord is so great that it cannot be imagined even by the great brahmacharis or sannyasis, but such happiness is factually attained by unalloyed devotees of the Lord by his divine grace. So Srila Prabhupada here is making a great distinction between the tri-vibhuti and pad-vibhuti. Tri-vibhuti is where three-fourths of living entities reside, and one-fourth is here in the material world. So I was really curious and wanting to know more about these residents of Vaikuntha and residents of Goloka Vrindavan. So, you know, I was doing some research on it, and a lot of the information comes from the Brahma Samhita prayers. And Prabhupada explains that when Lord Brahma was meditating, that he got a vision of the Vaikuntha planets. And Prabhupada explains that this vision was transmitted much like on a television, you know, that like taking pictures of the moon and having it come to the Earth planet. It comes through modulated waves of sound. Prabhupada said the difference is it's nothing material, that this was transferred to Lord Brahma due to his penance and meditation within himself. So you think of, you know, it speaks of the Lord revealing himself. And you think even ourselves, in terms of if we meet someone and someone wants to know all about us at the very beginning of the relationship, you know, we're not so inclined to reveal our innermost feelings and desires because we don't really know this person very well. We don't know what his character is like or how he may use this information. So Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is ready to reveal himself to his pure devotee, but that devotee has to qualify himself. And again, Prabhupada explains that this qualification comes through devotion, meditation. You know, bhakti mam abhijanati yavan yas chatsmi tavataha tato mam tatvatonya va vishite tadanantaram, where Krishna says, one can know me as I am only by devotional service, and one comes to full realization of such devotion, he can then enter into the kingdom of God. So entering into the kingdom of God is no small thing. We have to be qualified for it. Reading about Vaikuntha, I learned that their bodies are very delicate. They're very beautiful. They also primarily wear yellow clothing. I thought of that when I saw the deities this morning. That they have complexions that are very bright. It's not like the mundane white and black in our material world, but they're brilliant. He compares it to like a bright cloud and a flash of lightning, that's, you know, that is what they look like. And, you know, they often wear a crown of flowers. And they wear necklaces, he said, made of metal-like, diamond-like metal substance surrounded by costly jewels never found here in the material world. So, of course, these are some, you know, quasi-physical characteristics, but the main qualification in the spiritual world is that there's no envy. Prabhupada says that envy is conspicuous by its absence. In the material world, we're all plagued by misery, by ignorance, by envy, by anger, and by egotism. So these are things that even though, here he's saying in the purport, Prabhupada's saying in the purport that Krishna is actually able to award immortality and award fearlessness to his devotee. And we can feel that sometimes, you know, in all different ways. I thought of, you know, when I was arrested, I probably told this story too many times, but when I was arrested doing Sankirtan in Alabama, and, you know, put in jail and had to spend the night there, I did not feel fearful. I mean, it wasn't pleasant, but I knew that Krishna was going to take care. It was three of us that were arrested. Three devotees were arrested and put in jail. And one of them was a bhaktin. She was very new, so she was fearful, I have to say. She was crying, and, you know, the next day when they brought us into the courtroom, the judge asked each of us to speak. So we got up there and we spoke about what we were doing and why we were doing it. And at that point, the judge expressed his repentance, that he was sorry that we were arrested. And he said that in the future, if we had any problems, he gave us his card to please let him know, and he would help us. So, you know, we see that throughout the Bhagavatam. We see Ambarish Maharaj, who's being chased, you know, by Durvasa Muni. But he was fearless. He felt completely protected by Krishna. Or Prahlad also, you know, with all the, everything he was going through, all the persecutions that Hiranyakashipu was putting on him, still he was fearless. He had that faith in Krishna, that Krishna would protect him. So for us, the fearlessness, as we take shelter of the Supreme Personality, Krishna awards that fearlessness. You know, you think of in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Lord Chaitanya explains that the beginning of devotional service, he compares it to the sowing of a seed in the heart. So just like a, you know, you sow an oak tree seed and you water it, and then the seed fructifies and it grows into a tree. He says, by the same token, when that seed of devotional service is in our heart and it's watered by chanting and hearing and devotional service, it grows. It begins to grow as we, you know, hear, we chant, we remember, we serve, and it grows right up and pierces the covering of the material sky and grows up into the Brahmajyoti and continues to grow and grow and grow until it reaches the lotus feet of Krishna. And when we're completely surrendered to Krishna, it explains that Krishna awards us that immortality, you know, that becoming one with Krishna in the sense of taking on his qualities. So, you know, one of the first stages of devotion is Shraddha. And I was reading that Prabhupada said, a Shraddha can be as simple as when you're out on Harinam or you're just walking through the street with your sari, someone may look at you and say, oh, he looks nice, or she looks nice, or it was pretty amazing on Harinam this last Saturday, the University of Florida game with Louisiana, and it was so packed. I mean, it was so packed. There were so many people, but there was so many people going by and smiling. And ingeniously, Pundrik Prabhu has a gong, you know, with a little wooden hammer, and Akuti has the tambourine. So they're able to bring so many people in that way. They hold out the gong and people come by and they take the gong and they, you know, they take part. So according to what Srila Prabhupada said, that is the beginning of their spiritual life. That's the beginning of Shraddha, their devotional creeper's beginning. There was another woman who stopped and put her little two-year-old boy down, and the little boy was completely transfixed, you know, looking at the devotees. And I went up to her, I said, "You have a very special little boy." She said, "Yeah, he loves the music, and he just wanted to stop and listen." So, you know, these baby steps that people take can end up becoming very strong creepers and traveling all the way up to Krishna's lotus feet. So there's so much to battle in one sense, you know, in this material world, you know, with each other, and we're plagued with so many bad qualities. You know, we're working on the good qualities. We're working on the 26 qualities of a devotee. I was thinking of a prayer. You know, I grew up Catholic, so the prayer we learned: "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." So there it is, right there, the holy name, hallowed be thy name. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. So I thought that was so significant, that idea of forgiveness. It's very important, because it's so easy to become offended by someone, by a devotee or a non-devotee. But, you know, we're in the association of devotees, so we get all our purification through each other. So when we're offended, how to deal with that, you know, how to be forgiving and how to move on, because after all, you know, Krishna has forgiven us so many transgressions, and he bestows his mercy upon us unlimitedly to everyone, no matter what. So we also have to be as forgiving in that way, and that's one of the very, very important qualities. I was thinking of devotees who have surrendered to Krishna, and I came upon this. I thought it was beautiful, because, anyway, it's about daksha. So it says here that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is extremely affectionate to his devotees, was very pleased by the prayers, the Hamsaguya prayers, offered by daksha, and thus he appeared at that holy place known as Agamarshana. O Marsh Prickett, best of the Kuru dynasty, the Lord's lotus feet rested on the shoulders of his carrier Garuda. So here you have Krishna, his feet resting on the shoulders of Garuda, and he appeared with 8 long, mighty, very beautiful arms. In his hands he held the disc, conch shell, sword, shield, arrow, bow, rope, and club. And in Vaikuntha, actually the residents, they all have 4 arms, and they're holding a conch, a disc, a club, and a lotus flower. In each hand, a different weapon, all brilliantly shining. His garments were yellow, and his bodily hue deep bluish. His eyes and face were very cheerful, and from his neck to his feet hung a long garland of flowers. His chest was decorated with a kastuba jewel and the mark of Srivats. On his head was a gorgeous round helmet, and his ears were decorated with earrings resembling sharks. All these ornaments were uncommonly beautiful, because it explains also that in the spiritual world, everything is cognizant. Everything, there's nothing inanimate. Everything sees, everything hears, everything moves. So that means all the jewelry, you know. I think last Wednesday, Govinda was talking about the milk having personality and the milk's desire to please Krishna. So all these ornaments were uncommonly beautiful. The Lord wore a golden belt on his waist, bracelets on his arms, rings on his fingers, and ankle bells on his feet. Thus decorated by various ornaments, Lord Hari, who is attractive to all the living entities of the three worlds, is known as Purushottama, the best personality. He was accompanied by great devotees like Narada, Nanda, and all the principal demigods, led by the heavenly king Indra and the residents of various upper planetary systems. Seeing that wonderful and effulgent form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Prajapati Daksha was first somewhat afraid, but then he was very pleased to see the Lord, and he fell to the ground like a stick to offer his respects to the Lord. And this is very beautiful. As rivers are filled by water flowing from a mountain, all of Daksha's senses were filled with pleasure. Because of his highly elevated happiness, Daksha could not say anything, but simply remained flat on the ground. Although Prajapati Daksha could not say anything, when the Lord who knows everyone's heart saw his devotees prostrate in that manner, and desiring to increase the population, he addressed him. So these are some of the things we have to look forward to when you read the story of Dhruva Maharaj. Also, it explains that, you know, Dhruva, due to an offense by his stepmother, you know, he was pushed off the father's lap because, according to her, because he wasn't born of her womb. So he became very offended and tearfully, you know, went to his mother. And his mother explained to him there's nothing she could really do, that she wasn't the favored wife, and that the king, Uttanapada, wouldn't really listen to her or care for what she had to say. But that if he worshipped the Supreme Lord, then he could get what he wanted. So, you know, kama sarva kama va moksha karma dara dikti brena bhakti yogena jeta purusha sman. So, whatever you want, you know, you want something material, you want something spiritual, whatever it is, it still is best to go to Krishna for it. Although, ideally, the devotee only wants to serve Krishna and please Krishna. But here we have this little boy, Dhruva, who decides he is going to worship Krishna. The first month, he just has fruits and berries. And the second month, I think he eats only every sixth day. And the third month, he drinks only water. So it kind of goes on like that, and where he's standing on one foot and he's meditating, and he's become so powerful due to his austerities that the demigods are starting to suffocate, and they go to the Supreme Personal God and explain what's happening. So Krishna appears to Dhruva, and Dhruva is amazed. It explains that when Dhruva saw Krishna, tears started flowing out of his eyes. And it said he began drinking the Lord's body with his eyes, and he began touching the tips of the Lord's toes, and he was kissing the lotus feet of the Lord. He was just so much in love, and he was so happy. Of course, then the Lord disappeared after he explained to him that he wouldn't have to worry. He actually granted him immortality. He granted him passage to the pole star and told him that, you know, he could live there, you know, for extended length of time, and after that he would go straight home back to Godhead. But Dhruva was a little sad. Does anybody know why Dhruva was sad? Can anyone say why Dhruva was?
He didn't know how to offer prayers.
Pardon?
He didn't know how to offer prayers to the Lord.
That was partially it, yeah. It was something else too, Ragatmika?
Because he had that desire, but after seeing the Lord.
Yes. Right, right. He felt very sad that he had that material desire, you know. Just, I'm sorry, did someone?
Sorry, I thought the other person asked you. He said that he felt like he was looking for a broken pieces of glass.
That's
whereas,
right.
Whereas seeing Lord was like a diamond.
Right, all these jewels, and he was looking for glass among them. So he lamented that way. Just like ourselves, we might lament sometimes, you know, as we even chant the Dhammadhar prayer when it says, "Oh Lord, my only desire to have your pastimes enacted in my heart." But then for some of you might think, well, yeah, that sounds great, but also I have this desire and that desire. And of course, you know, we don't really want it, but we have it. And Krishna's so kind that he will award the fulfillment of all desires, you know. In the meantime, we're trying to purify our hearts, so we don't have to ask for that. So it's simultaneously going on. But yeah, Dhruva, so he was such a good example. And you know, just thinking, I was also looking at the 26 qualities of a devotee, because it said when Prabhupada, when he you know, got together his league of devotees, his idea was to create, you know, pure brahmanas who exemplified all the 26 qualities of a devotee. And as we know, he was not very successful there, the League of Devotees in India. You know, people were not willing to give their sons to him to train. A few people, but not very many. But he went on. Anyway, I was thinking of these 26 qualities of devotee, thinking, you know, one of them is being very merciful. And of course, we see that in our own ISKCON in a very big and beautiful way, just all the desire of the devotees to preach and to give out mercy in form of books and prasadam and harinam, and that's going on all over the continent, you know, so that's very special. I was thinking, you know, different devotees who exemplify the 26 qualities of devotee. One I was thinking of was Vasudev Dutt, you know, Vasudev Dutt in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Krishnadas Kaviraj explains that he went to Lord Chaitanya and he said, "Lord Chaitanya, my heart is being torn apart. I can't stand to see the sufferings of these living entities. And I'm begging you, please, give all those sufferings to me. I'm willing to go to hell for as long as it takes to suffer for all the sinful activities that all these living entities have committed. You know, so please just give me that benediction." So, you know, these often benedictions are offered to great devotees. When Krishna and Balaram were traveling and they met the florist, I think that was before they met the woman with the sandalwood paste. So the florist, actually, I think it was after, but anyway, you know, the cloth merchants weren't so ready to share their cloth. They kind of like shooed Krishna Balaram. "What are you thinking of? You know, you want this cloth, it's meant for the king, get out of here." So, you know, met with a kind of a gruesome end. But when they went to the florist, he was so happy to offer flowers, to give everything to Krishna Balaram. So Krishna Balaram asked, "You know, what would you like for a benediction?" And all the florist wanted for his benediction was, number one, he wanted pure devotional service to Krishna. Number two, he wanted association with devotees. And number three, he wanted to be able to have that love and affection for all of the innumerable living entities who are suffering in this material world. And that benediction is mentioned a couple times in the Bhagavatam, a couple other times besides that time. So I thought it was something worth meditating, a nice prayer for us too, something that we want. You know, steadiness is another one of the qualities which is so important, which really saves us so many times through all the turmoils that we're going through. You know, so many times we may not feel like coming to the temple, but we're in the habit of coming, so we just come. And because of that, you know, Krishna, he benedicts us every time we come. He's there benedicting us. And we're so lucky to see Krishna every day. Also, a devotee is, one of the qualities of a devotee is poetic. So we see that devotees are very poetic in all different ways. Asama Priya is always coming up with her beautiful poems. She's a good example of that quality. And also, devotees are kind to everyone. And they're equal to everyone. And they're respectful to everyone. So equal to everyone means they don't see, like, this devotee's advanced, I'll hang out with this one, not so much, you know. Even though we may associate in a different way due to the devotee, but, you know, it's important for us to be able to associate and give association to all devotees and to respect all devotees. Because I've always heard that the biggest step the devotee takes is a step from becoming a non-devotee to a devotee. The step from becoming a devotee to a pure devotee is not as great a step as that first step you take by coming to a devotee. So it's so unfortunate. In this community, also, there's so many devotees that sometimes, you know, I've had the experience of going up to someone, talking to someone, thinking they were new, and they'd been here for 3 years, you know? So, you know, it's kind of, our community is growing so much, so we're trying to think of different ways to bring the community closer. One of those ways is the devotee care group. And we're trying to divide the community into 12 different neighborhoods. And each month, one neighborhood will be in charge of the devotee care, being, you know, taking people to the doctor or, you know, bringing them prasadam if they're sick, visiting them in the hospital, or visiting. There's devotees who live in South Florida, who in a place where there's no temple. So maybe calling those devotees or writing to those devotees, or Sarvasacha, who lives in Stark, kind of on your way there and way back from St. Augustine, giving him association. Does anybody know the story of Sarvasacha? Does anyone know that? It's a pretty amazing story. I could tell it really quickly and then I'll stop. But Sarvasacha, he saw Prabhupada and he'd already been drafted to go to Vietnam War. And he didn't want to go, but he felt like he had to go because he was drafted. And it's a big deal. You got to go out of the country. So Prabhupada told him not to go, but he went. And while he was there, he was captured by the Viet Cong. He was imprisoned. Somehow or other, he escaped. And he and another prisoner, they just ran through the jungles and just ate whatever they could eat to stay alive. And they finally saw the Americans. He ran up and they shot him. It's called friendly fire. They shot him and his body was thrown into a pile of bodies, you know, for dead. And so as the man who goes to the body is taking out the identification and valuables, he went, wait a minute, this is Ron McClellan. I know him from high school. He was a friend of mine. So he took an extra listen and he was still alive. So he was lifted by helicopter to the hospital. He lost his arm, but he came back and devoted his whole life to Srila Prabhupada. But over the years, his health has deteriorated greatly, and his condition now is very lamentable because he not only has one arm, he has no use of the other arm, he has no use of his legs. So he's basically just lying in bed. And, we're hoping to get a voice-activated computer for him. And devotees, devotees could visit him once a month due to each neighborhood having a certain responsibility, the idea being that you can do almost anything for 1 month. They have to do it forever, then that's a little too much. But anyway, we're hoping this idea will take root and flourish and that we can all get to know each other and serve each other better through such a this kind of organization. So I'll stop here. Please add anything you can to enliven us about the spiritual world and about gaining immortality. Thank you for listening. Okay, there's someone here.
You mentioned it. In the spiritual world, everyone wears like yellow dhoti.
Well, he primarily.
And they look like they have the bodily features of whatever form Vishnu is there.
Yeah.
But actually, in Krishna Loka, things are more diverse. Because all the cowboys, they have different colors.
It's
different
true.
Complexions.
That's true.
They wear different things. So it seems like there's more individuality.
That's probably true.
Also, you were mentioning about the things Dhruva was lamenting for.
Sorry.
The things Dhruva was lamenting
for
saw Krishna.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't he think, well, I may go back to Godhead, but what about my mother? Can you mm-hmm. make sure that she comes back to Godhead? So he was worried about his mother going back to Godhead.
Shows how personal, right? Shows how personal it is. Thank you. Yeah, actually, I think Dhruva wouldn't go back. He wanted his mother to come. And she would put on the airplane next to him. That was another thing that it was interesting that Prabhupada was talking about airplanes in the spiritual world. He said, airplanes in the spiritual world, they're spiritual. They don't crash and burn, you know? They're beautiful. They're spiritual. He said they don't carry businessmen and politicians and planning commissions. He said they're for pleasure trips only, and they beautify those spiritual airplanes. They beautify the spiritual sky, and because the nature of our spirit is happiness only. It's just due to time and these bad qualities that we're contaminated with that restrict our happiness.
Thank you, Sukhita.
Thank you.
You spoke of forgiveness. I remember once when I was visiting Vrindavan and going through the Gurukul, just on the wall there was this statement, forgiveness means to set the prisoner free and then to realize the prisoner was you.
Just yeah, that's...
By carrying resentment, it's such a toxic thing.
It really is. Yeah. But it can be very hard at the same time. You know, it can be very hard to forgive. It's a process, and you really have to pray sometimes for, you know, the right situation to come about to help us let go of that.
That's
and just like Dhruva, right? He couldn't let go of it. And Narada said, look, you know, you're a little boy. Don't worry about it. You know, life will go on, but it explained he was a Kshatriya too, and that made it doubly hard or triply hard for him to let it go. He wasn't able to do that.
And you also spoke of the 12 regions that the devotee care team has designed. Why haven't the community at large heard about this?
Just now coming. Actually, I have flyers, and I'll start to bring those and give those out. And we already had Electra Forest. They did 1 month. It was mainly headed by Manmohini and Parijata, but they did a great job. So the idea is to have captains of each neighborhood. Wow. Will help to galvanize, you know, other devotees in the neighborhood. And it's largely physical, you know, based on proximity, you know, neighbors. But in some cases, it's like a few neighborhoods put together. But thank you for asking that. Actually, when I was reading the quality of being friendly to everyone, I thought of Agatmika, you know, because Agatmika is so friendly to everyone. So.
And Sukadat.
Yeah. Thank you.
Hey, but a table out on Sunday or something, well, in the diagram of the 12 areas, and if we live in that one, or, you know what I mean?
Yeah, just to create more awareness,
so
it's true.
Identify with
it. Yes.
Thank you.
You can help me. Definitely, it can be done. Anyone else? Okay, so I'm going to talk home.
Hare Krishna, thank you.
Thank you.
You quoted that verse of all desires or desire for liberation,
whatever
it is, you know, come to Krishna.
Yeah.
And Prabhupada's given us this amazing process and association, and it seems to me it makes us more aware of our anarthas, our desires that we didn't even know we had. But if we focus on what Prabhupada's given and not the obstacles, we can overcome whatever discouragement or embarrassment or shame might be there.
Yes, you're totally correct.
I do have one question on detail.
It's a little hard to hear. I don't know.
Krishna's earrings that are sharks.
Yes.
And anyone know about why sharks?
Well, I know that is it in the 10th chapter when Krishna's of fishes and the shark, right? So it's one form of Krishna, I guess. That's one reason for the shark earrings, right? I don't know any other reason. Do you know, Rangavinda?
Oh, it's because Krishna is running out of fear. That's the very special. That there's, you know, are you familiar with shark? Goroshakti told me shark is the only animal that loses 10,000 teeth in lifespan. 10,000. Their teeth are so sharp. Once they grab an object, there's no way you can get it out until you kill the shark.
Yeah.
Or they leave. So when shark-shaped Kundalam kisses the Krishna's cheek, it's the most exciting things in life of the earring. Yearning is a person, conscious being, as you are saying.
Mm-hmm.
So as the highest happiness, God, because out of fear, Krishna is running here, there, here, there, here, there, Mother Yashoda is chasing. And he's getting more kisses than ever before. It's the highest happiness.
Thank you. All right, thank you so much, Hare Krishna.